Welcome to the Elaborators for this week. I'm excited for this episode. We've got special guests, although we often have special guests, so you know. But let's pump the tires up and say this is an extra special guest.
Hey, I'm here.
Oh yeah. No, it's not you, Stan.
Oh.
Well, I'm not even putting you on the cameras yet.
Fine.
Too early.
Oh, sorry.
It's all good. But we've got Pastor Stan and we've got Jackie here.
Hi.
Let's just get him on the screen for some faces.
Ah, so good to be here.
And then I can actually formally introduce you both. So many will know Pastor Stan as the lead pastor here at Werribee Baptist Church. And we also have sitting in the middle here, Jackie, a global operative.
Global operative.
I was joking
about
that. You like that?
Yeah.
Okay, we can go with that one. Jackie, who are you?
Why have I got you? I can't say.
You can't say.
If I tell you, I'll have to kill you.
Yeah, exactly. Jackie, I am a cross-cultural worker serving in Thailand and being sent by this church.
Are you I might have this wrong, are you a lifetime member of WBC? Were you born into the church?
I am. I was born here and raised here, served here, and then was sent out by Word Baptist Church. So up until the age of 34 when I moved
Hall of
to
fame.
Thailand. Yeah.
Hall of Fame right there. Wow. Jackie's in.
My sound effects.
Yep. There you go. Well, 34?
I moved when I was 34, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And you've been there 2 years?
Yeah, right, two. Right. Yeah.
Moved where?
4 or 10. I moved to Thailand, to Chiang Mai in the north of Thailand.
Why'd you do that, Jackie?
I felt God called me there to serve and be a part of reaching the Thai people. Still, Thailand has a lot of unreached people. I just felt the nudge of God that became a nice push eventually.
Yeah.
Just really called to serve over there.
Funny you should mention that. You would think that we'd got some kind of link between you and this episode, wouldn't you? Hearing the call and taking a step.
Mm-hmm.
Well, funnily enough, that's good.
Funnily enough.
We do have Jackie here because it's great to have you here, Jackie, because we are talking about open doors, open opportunities, not just the door in your room, but like, you know, life opportunity calls from God and why we should step through them. How do we step through them? Should we step through them? Mm. Lots of those kind of questions today. So if we dive in. If we quickly stay in the Thailand circle, so let's just go straight into when. How many years ago did you first go to Thailand?
10
years already.
Yep, 10 years.
Happy anniversary!
Woo.
Thanks.
Yay. And was there like before that 10? What was going on to get you to even wonder? Should I be going overseas? Like, is there a big history of church commitment, and like this is where I'm supposed to be going?
Big history of church commitment. As we said, I was born into this church, but never a history of exploring mission. That was not something that was on my radar at all growing up. I came to church. I was happy to serve here. And in fact, I found myself in a job out of university. And I was able to work closely, which meant I could be active in ministry still, you know, go to work, be active with the church. And so just really pursuing ministry and youth and other spaces, and went on a few mission trips, which were just opportunities that I was thinking. But then, about when I was, 32, early 30s, God really started to kind of work and put this idea of mission in my mind. And, you know, I guess if we're looking at open doors, it was – I guess throughout my life, the door was kind of slowly opening until I could actually see it for what it was.
I like that. I was thinking about that during the week, Stan, because you, pardon me, you talked about, you know, the door might be wide open, might be open a crack, right. Something like that. And we'll get into the deeper what is the door in a minute. But throwing it out there that sometimes it's like what was in my head was you open the door and you step in and it's not immediately – there it is. You're in. It's almost like to the next door and to the next door and to the next door. And to the, like, it's not just one big door that you then just take a step in and that's that.
Mm.
There's a little gap and you have to start to open it.
Yeah. You're even like, you're just pushing on it gradually right. And slowly it opens enough that you can walk through and then
see what's on
might
the
be
other
another
side.
One.
Yeah. There's about another 10.
And then you walk through and say, oh my goodness, I didn't know what was back here.
Yeah.
And is it one of those auto locking doors? So you step in and then it's like, boom,
boom.
Now you're in.
Yeah.
Airlock behind it. You. Can't go back.
You guys are both too young to remember the game show, Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah. And that's American as well.
But you're too young. But you know about it, young. Though.
Nope.
No, okay. No. Okay. Well, there's this dude who was a game show host, and he would go to studio audience participants, and there would be three doors on the platform, and they would choose door one, door two, or door three. And behind one of those doors, there would be something really nice, like a car or something like that. But behind the other two doors were like a chicken or something stupid, you know, like that. So you had to be careful which door you chose. Anyway, sorry, that has no relevance to anything we're talking about.
It's about doors.
But it's about doors.
Yeah. You're saying God offers us three doors and one of them is like where he wants us to go and the other one is just, you get a chicken or a Mars bar, something simple.
But sometimes you don't know what's going to be through there. So
it's true.
That was the point. Okay. It did have a point.
Sure. So if we circle back a little bit to Sunday, because we do often record the podcast based on our Sunday messages. Stan, what did you cover for us? The Church of Philadelphia.
The Church of Philadelphia.
That was the topic. How does that relate to what we're talking about in here right in the last 5 minutes?
Yeah, well, in Revelation chapter 3, he's addressing the Church of Philadelphia, and he said to them that I have an open door in front of you, a door for you to go through. Now, in their context, it was actually they had a lot of opposition from the people who were still practicing Judaism in the synagogue. They had been excommunicated from the synagogue, so it was a closed door. But God was telling them, I've got an open door from you. And surprisingly enough, he talks about that open door being that some of those who were persecuting you and opposing you are actually going to come and bow before you and realize that you're the ones that I actually love. And they would actually be converted. That was the open door. But then wider than that, Philadelphia became a center for gospel outreach from there. So that was the open door of opportunity that they had to walk through.
But they had to do the walking.
Yeah. They had to be willing to go through it. The door could be open, and then it's just going to be a draft if you don't walk through it and do something, you know.
Standing there like a chicken. In front of an open door.
Yeah.
So there's scenarios. How often do these pop up, do you think, in life? Like, are they big and obvious with alarm bells, or are they subtle and do we have to go looking?
Yes.
Yes. It's not an or.
It's a both and. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
Different opportunities present themselves, and they can be big or small depending on what God's asking you to do or what's there in front of you.
So, and while you've been in Thailand, so there was obviously a big door you walked through to get to Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been more doors? Like, what other, you know, it wasn't just 10 years ago you took one step and then you're just cruisy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. What's been happening in the last 10
years? I'm waiting for the cruisy.
Right.
But and certainly I think that new doors present themselves. I even think in the context of the ministry that I'm involved in over there, which is working with vulnerable and marginalized people, we get new doors. As a team, we have to look at opportunities that come to us. You know, are we going to go and work in this vulnerable community and weighing up, you know, is God calling us into this space? What is the need there? We've got this other need here. And so we're constantly assessing the different opportunities that are put before us. Personally, the same things, different opportunities for, you know, where I might go to church or where I might invest my time, what's God calling me to, who's he calling me to as well.
So then how do you, what kind of tips are there to do the discerning? How do you do the discerning?
Yeah, how do you know?
Because it's easy to say, like, it's like, oh, we've got this door, we're gonna pray about it, we're gonna make sure it's from God.
Yeah, here's a really simple example for you. Is yesterday, last night actually, I sent you a message, right? And said, hey, the door's open to the podcast studio. Are you available?
Yeah.
Right? And that was very short notice and everything. How did you go through that discernment process to end up sitting here right now?
I just sort of had to because you're the pastor.
good answer.
Was a door? Oh, I could have said no.
But it was an opportunity. You could have said no.
Right.
But it had, doing this has relevance in your life and your ministry.
Mm, right? Absolutely.
So it's an opportunity that was there, and you actually did have the capacity to do it.
Right.
So it was one you could say yes to.
Yeah.
And, it's an opportunity. And you did feel a power imbalance because I am lead pastor. So.
But yeah, you're right. There are those kind of smaller ones where I'm like, I have opportunity. It's something I'd like to do. It helps me, in a way it's investing back into this community of faith while I'm here. Mm. And so yeah, like things like that are positive. The outcome is good. They're the easy doors to kind of walk through, I think.
All right. Well, see, I just want to bring a really simple one because you're talking about bigger steps there in Thailand. And then even for you globally around the world, other doors have opened for you because of what you're doing in Thailand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So probably the big one is just deciding to take on a global role alongside the role that I have in Thailand. And I was asked to do that and I was like, oh, that's quite big. but sitting and I guess what I did to process that was praying about it. And, you know, it's obviously an honor to be asked to take on a role. But I needed to make sure I wasn't just doing it because, you know, it looks good on the resume or it's nice to be wanted, but is it something that was going to be helpful for the kingdom that I felt God was equipping me in? And even to look back, you know, is this something that I felt God had been leading me towards? And then to bring other people into that conversation to pray with me and to help me discern that decision as well was really helpful. And yeah, ultimately.
Do you, you talk about the prayer and all that. Do you need to be strong and ready in faith to walk through a door? Like, how do you, in the discernment of it?
No, I think it's like we were saying before, like pushing on the doors and seeing, you know, and opening them and trusting that God will continue to open them for you. There can be, I mean, moving to Thailand wasn't a clear open door. Yep, I'm going through. It was like, do I have to, you know, and so, but
was
really
that a little
just,
musical note there in your head?
Yeah, right? No, not musical at all. Yeah. But yeah, like it's like here, I think is what I'm seeing. It's a door. Is it for me? Is it for now? And just, you know, stepping in faith and then seeing what God did to confirm or say, point me in an otherwise direction. So I think, yeah, a lot of faith is involved.
Right, I was just about to say that stepping in faith, it's like, well, that's the bit.
Yeah, exactly. That's the hard part.
Yeah,
because you don't know what's on the other side. You don't know if it's the right direction. But you have to trust in a good God that will want the best for you and want good things for you and want to use you in the right spaces and trust that He'll lead you into those spaces.
Yeah, so you mentioned, Simon, you asked the question about do you have to be strong? Do you have to be ready and know that you can take this on? Well, in the letter to the church at Philadelphia that we were talking about on Sunday, Jesus even told them, I know that you don't have a lot of strength. You've only got a little bit of strength. Mm. So I would suggest, and I did so on Sunday, that it was the acknowledgement that they weren't strong enough that actually was part of what made them usable. Mm. And why that open door was there, because it wouldn't be all about them. It wouldn't be, oh, look at what we did. It was about what Jesus did, not them. So, yeah.
Are there many other examples biblically of this? I mean, there are, but like, are there any that resonate for you personally?
Yeah.
I mean, basically the Bible's got a lot of open doors. Yeah. People walking through open doors, but yeah, for yourselves.
For me, and I've shared it before that the story of Esther really resonates with me, and for her in where she was, like that there was this opportunity, you know, to fast forward through the whole story, but the opportunity to be a part of the deliverance of the Jewish people, her people. And so that's an open door, and she was kind of, there were a lot of open doors to get her to that point. Along the way that she was kind of being put in the right position and to move through the next door, if you want to keep that analogy going. But even, you know, when we're talking about hesitation or, you know, should we go through the door? Should we not go through the door? You know, in Esther 4:14, it talks about when Mordecai says to Esther, you know, deliverance for the Jews will come. regardless of if it's you, it's still going to come, but this is your opportunity to consider that you've been raised to the position for such time as this. You've been raised to the position to be a part of this promise that God's given. If it's not you, somebody else will be invited through that door. And so I love that example and that idea of for such a time as this. She had no assurances that she was going to be the one to bring about that promise, but she stepped through in faith that maybe it was her. And yeah,
that's an interesting one with the is one door able to have multiple people directed towards it?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it your door? I don't know. You got any thoughts on this, Dan?
Oh, man, come on, come on.
Yeah, well, Jackie's just answered the question. It's your turn to answer the question.
She opened that door. You went through it, and now you're hanging me out to dry with it.
Yeah.
There you go. Excellent. Way to go.
Yeah.
You know, what I just heard Jackie saying in that illustration of the door might be open, but someone else can go through it if you won't, it's really humbling. Because we make a big deal about Jackie Special and she's a global operative and all this stuff. But she was a humble person that said yes to going through a door, you know. And if she didn't, I don't think that the ministries that she went to assist with and to help advance in Thailand and now globally would have not advanced and gone forward. Someone else would have filled in those roles. Now, I would actually lean towards that it's the opportunity that was for you at that time.
Mm.
And if someone else had done it, it might look very different today. And I would also land on a place where when people or churches, organizations haven't gone through a door, that it actually could, through disobedience, through delay, opportunities could be missed and things not happen that could have happened. But yeah, it's extremely complicated though. God is going to accomplish what God's going to accomplish no matter what.
Right.
Mm.
But he chooses to do it through his people. And if his people are reluctant, his people say no, there's delays, things may not go as well as they could have, you know.
And I think with Esther's story, it wasn't that, you know, that exact same situation was going to present to someone else. It's God would have used somebody else.
It's not next girl up.
For the deliverance of the her people. But yeah, it just looks different. But.
So how do you discern that this is from God, this door, this opportunity? What are some ways to figure that out?
Yeah, I think.
Well, can you know? Is it a step in faith?
I mean, from my own experience, I always was hopeful, but you know, and it was just like I sense this and I'm feeling this is the door that you're calling me to go through, and you know, again, bringing community around me and listening and being open to what other people were telling me and feeding into that situation and bringing all that together to go, you know what, it gained strength in kind of like what I was sensing and how much I was sensing it was of God. And I think that as that happens, as you get those promptings, as you discern, as other people are feeding into that, the confidence grows. And, you know, even you know, revisiting past experiences of God's faithfulness in those times can help you as you kind of inch your way closer to the door and through it.
And is that, I like the community part of that because it is so important, whether it's, I guess, church community, family community. Is that where you often hear the type, show me a sign, you know, and getting, because people, you see it in the movies a lot and things. It's like, I think I'm going to do this. Show me a sign, God. And there's, in the movies at least, there's a classic, obvious thing. But are those, how do you spot the signs? What, like, is it just an internal, I think that might be a sign?
I mean, again, from my own experience, it was kind of annoying, like almost God going, see, you know, like, I think I always joke that I needed neon signs. I was 34 when I moved to Thailand. I sometimes wondered whether I missed a call earlier on. And I know I didn't. Like, I know it's all in God's timing, but it made me go, huh, what what signs or what promptings was I missing earlier on, if there were any? And, you know, so you always ponder, but, you know, when I talk about I needed real clear signs, but it just became really obvious to me when God was moving me towards that door of stepping into to mission. Yeah, just the groundswell of words from other people, words from God, things I was studying at the time, messages I was hearing at church. And for me, it just became this overwhelming, like, God's trying to tell me something here. And again, that's probably a personal perception of, you know, it's personal for me, but I would imagine that's how God works for other people too. There's just an undeniable sense that this is God at work.
Yeah, and I think that when you're going through it, you have that sense and you're taking the steps, but your confidence is still not 100%. You're still like, well, I think this is what's happening, but I'm doing it. It's in hindsight that you can see, and the clarity is there. But the thing that I often will pray when I see what appears to be an open door and that we're going to walk through or we're not going to walk through, usually it's not, or we're not going to walk. It's like, we're going to walk. But my prayer is that, God, if that's not an open door from you, please close it. Don't let us go through something. Don't let us do something that you're not in. And so if you're praying that way and you're believing that way, then I think our trust in God to shut it down gives us confidence if it doesn't shut down that he was in that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Now,
that doesn't mean that at the end, when you walk through that door, everything's going to be beer and Skittles, right? Because Paul went through a lot of open doors and he got stoned, he got shipwrecked, he got beaten, all these things. But he was going through open doors. So that's a dangerous place to land, is that when you walk through a door, okay, it's all going to be great. Because a lot of times the open doors that God leads us through make us very uncomfortable. And we end up doing things that we would not have, it's not the ticket we would have written for our own life. And sometimes it can even include elements of pain, loss, grief, things like that. So we need to make sure that we're not saying, well, if it's of God, it's all going to be great. You know, when I go through that door, to discern whether that was an open door or not. Open doors could lead you to actually falling flat on your face, but that could have been God's instruction time for you. You know, things like that. So anyway, I'm sorry, I'm rambling.
No, it's good. It's good. So if there were difficulties then, how do you support the people going through that? You know, they're either doubting that they made the right choice and that they took the right opportunity, and that even though, as you're saying, it might just be a dip, like, what can the rest of everybody around them, their community, do? Because there might be people listening, watching ourselves, that are watching someone go through something. And how do we support them?
Well, let's reframe it for Jackie. Have you, in your 10 years, gone through times, seasons where you thought, uh-oh, have I done the right thing? Have I done the wrong thing here? Or has it all been... No, it's all just peachy keen and clear.
I think, praise God, like, my call to Thailand, I've never felt like, what have I done? I've moved here. And I think there are elements of things that we're involved in, or, you know, things that I've agreed to do, situations that we're in that I'm like, you know, was this the right thing to do? But I think part of that is trusting in the steps, the discernment to get you to that point, and knowing that God is faithful and that he will be there. And being okay to, I guess, sit in the discomfort for a little while and wait for God to show up. And yeah, and like you say, if it's not meant to be, he'll kind of close the door or shut it down. It may not be in our timing, though. I think that's the thing. We might just have to sit in the discomfort for a while and trust that he's giving us something to learn in that space.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. And it reminded me of another global worker that I was working with in a previous life, was really struggling with where they had landed, and things were difficult. And they were considering, okay, did I get this all wrong? And do I just need to pack up and go back home? And in the conversations with that person, I asked the question, well, okay, why did you go there? has the reason that you went changed? Mm. Have the circumstances around that changed? These other circumstances that are hard right now, where did those come from? And are those different than when you actually went? And should those be affecting your decision that was based on these other things? So it really drives them back to, all right, this was my call. This is why I did it. This was the open door. And they can evaluate then, okay, no, that hasn't changed. That open door is still there. That opportunity is still there. Yes, it's gotten difficult, but it's still there. So that's a big one for me is if they're ready to give up, it's like, well, okay, if the opportunity has closed, if in a mission context, because Jackie's here today, if you're actually getting kicked out of the country that you're in because the government says you can't stay here anymore and you're in handcuffs going to the airport, well, I think that's a closed door. That's pretty much a closed door at that opportunity. But if it's just scary, if it just is uncomfortable, if you're just missing family or whatever back home, well, those things are always going to be there. Mm. So, yeah, so that's...
I think, yeah, I mean, during COVID, I was stuck back here for a year, and I did get to the point where I was
horrible
just like...
Horrible place to be stuck, huh?
Sorry, stuck's for another... Well, I was. I couldn't get back to Thailand.
Was that yeah, right. That was coincidental. You happened to be here and couldn't get back? Or
I was
you
here
get
for a home
out?
Assignment. Yeah. So I was here for 5 months. It turned into 14 because when COVID hit and Australia locked down and Thailand locked down, so I couldn't get back.
Wow.
But, you know, after being here for nearly... a year, I did start to think, you know, am I supposed to stay? Like, why has it become so hard to get back? Or is there a reason God's got me here? And I'm like, nah, this pandemic's affecting everyone, not just me. Like, I don't think I can take a sign from this, but we can be quick to kind of bring out
this whole global pandemic is to stop me going back to Thailand.
That's right.
Talk about a closed door.
You're pretty special.
All right.
But, and I remember working through that with you and the different visa opportunities that we were looking at. And well, you know, really, you can get this one, but that's actually not going to facilitate it. But this is the one I really need, which was really unexpected and probably and logically wouldn't have made sense for you to get, which you did get. I'm saying that right, aren't
yeah.
I? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And again, those were, again, constant affirmations that, no, you're not done there yet.
Yeah.
And it's not a closed door.
Right. And even for me, like, I had no desire not to be in Thailand. So I'm like, right. to have those thoughts, it was just, you know, what the pandemic did to everyone.
Yeah.
But like in my heart, I knew that I wanted to be back in Thailand. I wanted to be serving there. So I needed to hold that truth. And then with the practical realities of that, I remember I had a friend speak into it as well. Out of the blue, just messaged me and said, you're supposed to go back. Just hold tight. It's just, there's something to learn in the waiting. But yeah. You can.
So open doors to going back. I mean, you're obviously you're here in this podcast studio right now in Australia, and you want to be in Australia or you want to be back in Thailand? Where are you at today?
Well, it's pretty cold outside, so I'm ready to be back in Thailand. Look, it's always you know, a bit of a heart tug, but I'm ready to be back in Thailand. Yeah, I've got 2 more weeks here, so yeah, I'm gonna enjoy everything about these next 2 weeks and spending time with family and friends. But there's, you know, 6 months out of Thailand and yeah, just ready to get back into it. And I've been missing it. So yeah.
Cool. So you're going to enjoy the everything you can over the next couple of weeks. What are you going to enjoy about Australia?
I'm going to try and enjoy the cold weather while I can appreciate it. It can get pretty hot in Thailand. Mm. I think just people, time with family and friends, red meat.
Not food, red meat.
Yeah. Red meat while I can, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I've hijacked your podcast, Simon.
To talk about Thailand.
To talk about Thailand.
Give a plug for it. It's actually beautiful. Come on over.
All I was going to circle back to almost finish things off is the waiting part that we'd kind of talked about. Because you were saying multiple times you've got stuck or you've been waiting. So how do you balance the waiting on the signs – but then, and then the patience of that, but then also like still taking proactive steps, you know, talking about like their visas and that kind of stuff. Like you're trying to do this stuff, but it's not happening. And so you've just got to wait. Like, how do you sit in the waiting part? There's a song about that, isn't there?
Yeah.
Wait in the waiting.
In the waiting.
exciting.
And I didn't always do it well. I think there were, you know, there's some, you know, and we're talking about that COVID context. And I think initially I was really pushing to every avenue I can get to try and get back before I needed to get back before my current visa expired. Otherwise, I knew I was going to have to wait until the government opened volunteer visas again. That could take a while. But, you know, and so you're trying every avenue and just like mistakes happen, like money was lost, you know, when everyone's buying flights and everything's going, you know, and it's just like, oh, if I had been a little more wise about that, or stopped and thought about it and prayed about it. And so I think there were a few of those moments that kind of God used to arrest my attention and say, just hold on, yeah, like it's okay, be patient and wait. And I can't say that I was patient the whole time. There were frustrations when I was really missing Thailand, but it was coming back to that surety that God hadn't called me away from Thailand yet. Like I was going to get back there, but I needed to be patient and trust that he'd get me back in his timing, not always my timing, but, and wait for the kind of literal open door that needed right. The countrywide open
door. Yeah, the customs, you know, official saying, yeah. Jackie!
In you come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for those watching and listening, because we know they're out there, what's...
Both of them.
Both of them. Mm-hmm. Well, they might be doing both at once.
My parents are going to listen now.
Those listening and watching, I'm saying.
Oh, both, right. Both, you think you only have people. Two? Oh, stand ye of little faith. for those people, for the both of them and the more of them, what's your final word for them today, Stan, on this?
What's my final then? Word?
Yep. Have a little preach moment.
Yeah,
go for
yeah,
it.
My final word would be to... Just this week, maybe identify a small step that you can take towards an opportunity that you believe that could be from God. You know, maybe it's something that's on your mind, on your heart. It's one of those things that maybe it's been there for a while and it just doesn't go away. Just decide, what's one thing I can do to take a step towards that? And it doesn't mean you're committed to doing it full on and, you know, going to Thailand or going to Timbuktu or whatever. But what's one small step you can take this week? Decide that for yourself. And if you can't think of anything, then your small step is pray and ask God for an opportunity. Say, God, you know, I would like an open door. I would like to
send right, you. Right, so we shouldn't be comfortable not having a challenge in front of us?
No, that's boring. Come right, on, right? Man. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
God's always got something for you. God's always, you've got to be looking for it.
There are still people on this planet. There's still people in this neighborhood that haven't heard about Jesus. There's always work to do. So what is it that God wants you to do? Does he want you to be an answer to that? Does he want you to encourage another global worker? Does he want you to support a global worker? Does he want you to just show up at church and be a worshiper and inspire someone else by your presence? You know, it doesn't have to be big. It can be saying yes to, hey, I'll come to the podcast studio. You know, that I mean, that was a silly example.
Yep.
But again, when you look at a global operative, it's like, okay, I can't do that. A lot of people would say, and Jackie would be really quick to say, anybody else can do this. If I can do it, you know, you can too. But it doesn't start there. It starts with just simple obedience every day and just saying yes to the opportunity. If somebody asks you, hey, can you help me with something? You know, I'm a friend in need. That's an open door. That's an opportunity. Just say yes and walk through that door.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah, okay. Nice. No more needed to be said than that, Stan. Good preach. Well, let's wrap this up very quickly. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for coming in, Jackie.
My pleasure.
All the best as you head back to Thailand land.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming back, but thanks for going. Yeah. We really appreciate you going.
Well, thank you for making it possible for me to go. Everybody
congratulations on walking
me
through that door.
Yeah.
Again, thank you. To go back there.
Your global operative signing off.
Yeah. If anyone's online, we'd love to hear from you. What doors are you thinking you're facing? Because they might not know exactly. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear about it. And we'll be back next week with the last of the seven churches of Revelation.
Seven churches. Laodicea.
All right. See you later.
Yeah. See you.